would you join together and let's just give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we praise you, Lord. I thank you for your kingdom, that it is within us, O Lord. I thank you for your kingdom now and your kingdom that will come. I thank you, Jesus. From Exodus chapter 3, and then we will read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 16. Exodus chapter 3, and Moses is being met by God at the familiar burning bush. And verse 13 of Exodus 3. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and so shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, You should say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And Matthew chapter 16, beginning with the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others Elias, Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says unto them, But whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now God wants to show his power today. And I guess we could say that on any occasion, wherever we are. But I know that it is very specifically true. I have felt that definite direction and impression of God. He wants to show his power in our lives collectively and then individually today. The second thing that God wants today is for us to exalt and praise him through our thoughts, our focus, our worship, our words, our prayer, you name it, anything and any way that we can, we want to exalt the Lord God. And I'm preaching for just a little while this morning. That's who he is. That's who he is. Would you praise him right now, Lord? I want to thank you that you are the Christ, that you are God manifested in the flesh. You are the Son, and you are the Son of the living, the alive, the powerful, the quick. God, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are here and your presence is here. I thank you for it now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. This statement, revelatory statement by Simon Peter, is important to us. It's very familiar, but it's important for several reasons. I'll list just two here at the beginning. First of all, it's a summary statement of who and what Jesus is. And it's important for us to know this God that we serve and who he really is. We're doing more today than just serving a title, but we are serving a living God. So this statement helps us with the description of who and what Jesus is. It also prompts us to a response that we should always be willing to offer, especially as his people. And that is a response of praise and exalting him. I hope there are numerous praise the Lords here today. Not necessarily for affirmation to the preaching or the preacher, but in affirmation of Jesus Christ. And when it crosses your mind that this God that I'm sensing and feeling and that I know deserves praise, that's where that phrase issues out of, oh, praise the Lord. Or any other way that you want to express it today, but I want to do whatever I can do to free you and loose you and also encourage you. Our God deserves praise. And that revelatory statement of Simon is to get a response of praise and exaltation. Thou art the Christ. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now the title Christ is not a name, it's a title, and it means the anointed one or anointing. So this prophesied one, and by the way, we commonly use that title Christ, but remember the reason he bears it is because God had some intention about putting that title onto this earthly, his earthly manifestation. It was so that we would understand there was and there is anointing upon and in Jesus Christ. So Peter was recognizing the messianic role because the Christ or the Messiah was talked about in the Old Testament, and that those Jews knew that at the end of the age, near the end of the age, which is recorded in the gospel and we're still living in, that this one Jesus would come. First of all, he would minister for those 3.5 years in an earthly ministry. And then yet to come at the end of the age, this Christ is going to lead his people to victory and judge the wicked. So Peter, when he said, thou art the Christ, he was saying, you're the one the prophets have been writing about. You're the one Isaiah, you're the one Jeremiah and other prophets have written about. He was identifying, saying, this is the one. This is the guy. This is the one that has come as Messiah, and he was also recognizing the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, this was groundbreaking territory because Herod had referred to Jesus as the Christ, and others had referred to his messianic role, the Son of David, but nobody had directly addressed Jesus as the Christ. Nobody had said it right to his face. But Peter said, Jesus, I want you to know. And of course, we know that revelation just didn't all formulate in Peter's own thinking. Because Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. You didn't get this from going to the synagogue schools. Now you were there and you read the law and the prophets. But the thing that has quickened this understanding is the Spirit has revealed unto you, Simon. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it, but the Spirit has revealed who I am. And really today, it's still true this morning to have a true revelation, an identification of who really Jesus is and the one we're serving. That takes an imprint and an impact from heaven. Flesh and blood. Preachers could get up and preach over and over. We could sing wonderful songs like we do about it, and we are going to sing them, and we'll continue going to continue to sing them, but it takes a revelation. It takes a power and anointing of God to say, listen, I'm not just going through a ritual today. Christ, the anointing is in this house. The power, the anointing that we need, not flesh, not blood, but the power of Almighty God is in our presence. And I want to stop long enough to say it can happen for you right where you are seated. Either a revelation or a healing or a strength or an answer. It doesn't have to wait for the altar call. It doesn't have to wait for everybody to be in unison in praising God. There are so many of us here that are already worshiping and in unison with the Spirit of the Lord in unity with God. But it doesn't have to wait for all of that. The Christ is here. Now, some might have thought that Peter, who was very outspoken and sometimes very outlandish in his statements, was speaking out of turn and outlandishly and outspoken. But this claim was not outlandish at all. It was absolutely the truth. This is the one, Jesus, the one that some were mocking, the one that some were trying to scourge, and even some of them tried to throw him off of a cliff. But none of that, None of that was really the truth. The absolute truth was, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The anointing was upon and in Jesus Christ. He said, recorded in Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. This is what the anointing will do. And the anointing is in this room right now. The anointed one, his presence. He's not here physically right now, but his presence is here. Anything you need can be answered and helped right now. Anything that you need because of the anointing and the Christ. He's anointed me, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted, preaching deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. There is the anointing of God. You can receive whatever you want to receive or whatever you need to receive because God wants to deliver the captive. Brother Eric, leave that up there just a minute. The gospel to the poor. That means those who felt empty. He wasn't talking about necessarily what was in their pockets or purses. He was talking spiritually. And some people have been emptied out spiritually. But he said, I'm anointed. And I feel that same anointing today. Somebody, God's going to fill the emptiness and the void that is in your mind, your heart, and your thoughts. Here's what else he's going to do. He's going to fill this decision that you need to make. He's going to fill it with wisdom. He came to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. And if you are suffering with some kind of an emotional or mental brokenness, he is the Christ. He is the anointing. And there is anointing to heal your broken heart and to preach a deliverance and a recovery of sight. The scripture says, Peter said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Not only was the anointing and is the anointing upon Christ, but the Bible says that we are the body. And without being disrespectful, I believe I'm totally biblical here. We are the body of Christ. So, in essence, we can think and say, we are the Christ. We're not claiming the role of Jesus, but we are claiming the anointing that he had and that he has given. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost and by power, and he went about doing good. The anointing is upon the apostolic church. We're a part of it, APC. We're a part of it. And our guests that are here today, I just invite you, open your life to the anointing of God. Open your spirit to the anointing of God. Not only is the anointing upon his apostolic church, I want to be more specific than that. His anointing is in and upon you. I appeal to you to receive that. Let that marinate for just a few seconds. The anointing is upon you. I don't believe we should be fearful to claim the anointing. Because it's preachers. It's not just preachers that have the anointing. Hopefully we do. And I'll just tell you, I got it this morning. But don't you hesitate to claim the anointing. Because it's God's will, his anointing. It's the same anointing as what that verse said, Acts 10. The same anointing, Holy Ghost and power. And you can expect the same results. There's a lot of good that's going to be done. Is there anybody that's ready for some good news? And I want to drill down a little bit here. I want to preach this for all of us right here. But I want to preach to somebody that's had some bad news. But if you're ready for some good news, the anointing is here today. Woo! And not only is Christ here, but your brothers and sisters who are the body of Christ and house the anointing, and you're going to get some good happenings in your life. Would you mind putting it back up there, Brother Eric? All that good that's happening, good going to be done. And watch this. Healing all that were oppressed are pressed down. You try to stand up emotionally and mentally, and something tries to press you down. You try to stand up spiritually and praise and worship God, and something, some thought tries to come. Either I'm not worthy, or all of the stuff that may be going on around you. I want to tell you, the enemy wants to hinder us. Our own thinking will hinder us. But you're the anointed of God, and the anointing is here. And I preach deliverance right now to somebody to be able to rise up in a freedom and say, God is my God. He is the Christ. He's alive. Anointing is synonymous many times with the Spirit. And here's what Paul said. We can all claim these statements right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First of all, verse 12. Here's what Paul said. It's like he was trying to encourage the Corinthian church. And they, like us, probably needed not only convincing, but they needed confidence about who they were. He said, now church, we have received not the spirit of the world. I'm going to tell you what I felt a while ago. Caused tears to come to my eyes. I felt a holy presence. I don't know if angels are here or not, but God was here. I felt a presence that I just could not contain it. Paul said, that's not the spirit of the world. You can't feel this everywhere you go. I wish you could. But the truth is, you can't feel it everywhere you go. That's what Paul was saying. We have received, it's not just another spirit. We're not just another church. We don't have some just another religious experience or another religion. But he said, you've received the Spirit which is of God. Now that's why people say, you know, there's something different about you. I feel something different. My friends, Milto, Shola, his wife, every time I go back in the restaurant, he brings it back up. He said, those people were so friendly. He said, it was so different. I love to hear him talk about it in that broken English. Sometimes when he wants to say so much, he says too much. And sometimes he said things to me, so much or too much. And I thought, I'm doing something wrong. He's saying too much. And I realized, it dawned on me. He was saying, trying to say so much. But he felt so much of the presence of God. Nothing ever like it. And it happens over and over again. Here's why. Because we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you know, Paul said, it's not meant to be a mystery. God wants us to know what he has freely given to us. That's why he writes the few verses earlier. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Now watch this. We know it could be a reference for heaven. But he's really not talking about heaven and eternity. Here's what he said's not entered our ear, our hearts, our eyes. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. Those things are ready now. God has so many great things in store for every life and every person in this service. God wants to fulfill what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And today, I am preaching to people who are hungry and who have a strong desire. I am preaching to people that have been filled with the Spirit of God and have an apostolic experience, and you have had it for many years. I'm preaching to others that are seeking a deeper experience in God. And so I know I am preaching to hungry, strong, desirous people. You want to see in your life. You want to hear with your ears from God, and you want to have it burn in your heart what God wants to do in your life, in the church, and in this world, and God wants to do it. And the reason you're hungry, sometimes we hunger after God and we do everything we can and we read the scripture and we should and we pray and we should and we seek the will of God and we should, but the only reason, if you are hungry after God, now there's other reasons that people don't see what they need to see in their life. I'm not going to address those today. I'm talking to people that are hungry after God. And you haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. You haven't thought about it. What God is going to do in your life. Here's the reason. Because it is beyond you. Eye hasn't seen it. Ear hasn't heard it. It hasn't entered into your heart or your mind. It is beyond you and your natural abilities to imagine or discern. And I feel this word right now. It is beyond your thoughts or your imagination to be able to discern what God's going to do, let alone accomplish. This is not a puff you up session. This is not a prop you up session. I'm speaking prophetically by that anointing that is in this place. It has not even crossed your mind. And it's not because you haven't thought about it and because you haven't focused on it, but he said, you've thought about it, you've focused on it, but your eye hasn't seen it, your ear hasn't heard it, and it's not even entered into your thought processes what I'm about to do in your life by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you're willing to accept that, would you just put up hands before the Lord and speak to him right now a prayer of acceptance? I accept it, Lord. I receive it, God. I want to do what you want me to do, and then I want to let you do what you want to do, which is beyond me. We need you, God. We need you, God. And you're willing to help us. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter didn't stop with, "Thou art the Christ." He went on in that 16th verse. He said, "You are the Son of the living God." Yes. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do, claim it. The Son. You know what Peter was doing right there? Because not everybody was on board with Jesus right at that point in time. We've got the ability to look back down the road. We look back in hindsight. And so we know the revelation. We've understood who he is and we know how it all unfolded. But right at that time, not everybody was on board with what Jesus was claiming. In fact, they took up stones one day to stone him because he used one of those I am statements. They were not, you know, he couldn't get up and preach like this without a whole bunch of critics somewhere. Now, there were a whole lot of hungry hearts, but when he got up and spoke, in Nazareth, they tried to take him to the edge of the cliff and cast him off. Because they did not believe. Not everybody was on board. But Peter said, "You're the Christ. You are the Son." That recognizes the humanity. And he called attention to that humanity, but he called attention to the deity. "Thou art the Son of the living God." It was just another way of saying, God has manifested himself in the flesh. Simply said, Jesus is God. There's only one God. There is not God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost. There is one God, but there are three manifestations that this one God manifests himself in. And Peter got that revelation. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it, but Peter got that revelation from the Spirit. He said, "You are the Son. You're the human manifestation. You're the fleshly manifestation of the Almighty God who has been from the endless ages." Let me just tell you, and Brother Spall touched on this in our Bible lesson this morning. There is a power that comes into our lives when we acknowledge and understand there is only one God. It is more than just a Pentecostal doctrine or a religious doctrine. It is that. But attendant with that, and it happened for Simon, and it happens still today, there is a power that comes into a person's life when we say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then when we understand and claim Jesus is that God, You don't have to be afraid to say Jesus is God. We know he had humanity. He got tired, but he's also the God of Israel who never sleeps or slumbers, the psalmist said. He got hungry, but he could take loaves of bread and multiply it so that everybody could have a meal. He got tired and sat down on the well, but he's the God who is the God of rest and comfort and peace. There's only one God. His name is Jesus. He is the Son. And then Peter called him, "You're the Son of the living God." Would you say that those two words, living God, with me? Thou art the Son of the
living God.
That had life to it right there. We're not just serving a statue. We're not just serving a building. We're not serving an emblem. And we got an emblem. We got a cross. We don't have statues. But if there was one in here, we wouldn't worship that. This God, Peter says, and God's going to bring this divine revelation to somebody else in this room today, he's a living God. What that little word living did, it distinguished Jesus, the Almighty God, from all the dead idols of paganism. The living God. Paul said there are a lot of so-called gods. And there's more than idols. There's gods that people worship and serve. Money. Life. Possessions. But this is a living God. That word living right there means to be alive and to be lively. God's lively. God moves. Now we say that a whole lot. And we're meaning a sweep of the Spirit. And that's probably as close as we can get to the touch of God coming in our service. But God is alive. Aren't you glad you never have to go and wake him up? Now the disciples did one day. But he was asleep, but he really wasn't asleep. Whew. The human was asleep, but the Almighty God never sleeps or slumbers. And it may seem like in the ship of your life that Jesus is asleep in the bow of the ship, but the Almighty God is watching every move, every step, everything that may be hidden to other human eyes, but the Almighty God, the deity of all flesh, is seeing. He's alive. So this is not a dead religion. And I'm not talking about our lively worship. I'm glad our worship is lively. But I'm talking about alive where you can feel the quickening touch of God. Alive enough where somebody needs healing, they just say, you know, I believe God's a healer this morning. I'm going to have somebody pray for me. Or maybe if God lays on the heart of someone, they said, I feel the living God, and he's alive, and because he's alive, his healing is alive. Would you mind if I pray for you? This is a living experience. It's not dead. Now, we have a form. Yeah, here it is. We have a form. We have a schedule that we try to go by. We do believe in this, but not everything that's going to happen here is on this. And I'm going to tell you, everything that's happened in this service hasn't been in the minds of those who were responsible for this service. And everything that's happening in this message isn't all down in this iPad. Because this is a living God. This is a God that's alive. Now, when it's dead, you can carry it and make it do whatever you want it to do. You can lay it down, you can prop it up. You could put it in the closet, you could put it in the front, or you could put it in the back. But this God's a lively God. We used to sing a song, God's not dead, he's still alive. And then, I forget the title of this song, but it said, he's got up on this platform, he's got back at the door, and then he's God in the amen corner. I'm glad there's more than an amen corner. They're amen rows. Praise God. Then he's God all over the floor. Praise God. He's a living God. He's alive God. And when he said living God, he said, I'm not talking about a dead idol. I'm talking about a living power. And then it also, when he said living God, what he was pointing to is this is the source of true life, both presently, spiritually, and eternally. Now, I deliver this message to you. God wants to give to somebody real life. You know, it's possible to breathe but be a breathing shell. And isn't there a difference between really living and just existing? Go through life, earning money, having a job. And I'm not preaching against this thing. I think these are things that are part of life. That's why I'm bringing them in. Just got to go through our daily routines and got to go through our daily responsibilities, our weekly responsibilities, whatever they are. But I'm going to tell you, to the child of God, and God gets involved in our jobs, Brother Dave, God's going to help you in that job situation. I appreciate this man's faith. He's got a faith for the supernatural. God's going to turn it around on him. He's used it for others. God's going to turn it around on him, and he's going to use it in his life and in his situation. Now, God gets involved in our jobs, in our family, in our life. But I'm going to tell you, there's something that means more than our jobs. There's something that even means more than our earthly relationships. There's something that means more than the vehicle that I drove to church this morning. There's something that means more than the home. And God knows I'm appreciative of all those things, but there's something that means so much more than that. And if all of that had to go away, if we still had God, if all of that shell had to go away, we'd still have real life. Because people are proving day in and day out, real life is not in this. It takes this to live life. But people are finding it out, and people who have a lot of this are taking their life and despairing and going to things of this world, drugs and alcohol. That's because it's only a shell. But somebody, God wants to give you true happiness and true joy and true life this morning. It's just a shell. I think of a precious elder. He passed away not long ago, Brother Dub Lewis. Pastor down in southeast Missouri. And he had some connections to APC. I always think of him when I start talking about the shell of life. He was preaching a funeral one day, and he was using the analogy of an acorn or nut. And he said, folks, he was just so plain spoken and just, he said, that's what's happened today. All we've got is the shell here. The nut's gone on to glory. That's the way I feel a few times. Only this nut hadn't made it to glory yet. But really, it may have been a truer illustration than we want to give credit for. The real meat's in the shell. This is a shell. The building is a shell. I hate to have to give these disclaimers. I'll give this one and I won't give any more. You know I'm not preaching against a building. But the building is a shell. And our formalism is a shell. But what's alive is the God that can walk right over here. So I want to heal that diabetes. Ha ha. Talking about a living God. You see, you can't box up words of faith. You try to put it in a box and say, well, what if it doesn't happen? Or what if I should say that or do that? This is a living faith and a living God. And walk over here and say, I want to give you, Mark, a new lease on life. You don't have to be ashamed of anything. And I don't know details, but I'm just doing what the Holy Ghost told me. You don't have to be ashamed of anything in your past. You don't have to be hesitant to worship God. This is the living God. And I tell you what a living God does. He said, whosoever will. Deadness says, I'm a respecter of persons. But a living God said, whoever has a need this morning, come on. Come on. Come on. I open this altar right now. If you have any kind of a need, come on. Come on. He's a living God. If you need an answer, if you need wisdom, and come praying. And I want to ask others in the church, come and join them as quickly as you can. Come alongside of them. Lend them a hand of faith. Lend them a prayer of faith. You're a living God. That's it. Praise Him for who He is. That's it. Come praising Him. Praise Him. He's the Christ, the anointing. Praise Him. He's alive. Praise Him for who He is, the Almighty God. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I encourage you, if you have any kind of a need, bring it before the Lord right now. Come on. Come on. We're the body. Let the anointing flow. Don't put the lid on the anointing. Let the oil flow. Let the oil flow. Don't be inhibited. Don't be inhibited. Let there be no prohibitions. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, hallelujah. Let there be an agreement of prayer right now. Go ahead. There's a desire. If you want to praise and worship Him, go ahead. God's pulling that out of us. He's drawing that. And as you make a petition before the Lord, as you ask, let it be done with thanksgiving that He's the living one. He's the living God. Yes. Don't be afraid to believe God. Don't be afraid to use words of faith. Don't be afraid to pray prayers of faith. Let it be alive. Let your faith be alive. Yes. And bless His holy name.